We're always dancing when the music plays. Join us now, we're on a marathon. Dancing, dancing through the nights and days. We must dance because the 30s scream. The 30s scream because the horsemen ride. Or the nanny lives that he wore outside. Red lion, shanty dolls, Frankenstein's bride. Adolf Hitler and the Siegfried Follies. Joseph Stalin and the bag full of jollies. Call your broker and buy marzipan while we keep on dancing, dancing on and on.
Good evening. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. It's tape 429, February 22nd, 1980, and it's side one. If you hear a little outside noise, it's the rain on the roof. We're getting a lot of rain and wind here, the second week of the famous California rainstorm. It isn't too bad in Carmel, but you might hear it, and I don't make the tapes at the radio station. I do them at the house if possible, so every once in a while you may hear a funny noise, and I believe it's that rain on the roof. The ABSCAM inquiry is going to get so complicated. I already have a whole filing cabinet full of various articles, important articles, and I'm trying to assimilate them and put them into cross-sections so that I can make as much sense for myself and for you at the same time as these investigations break open. If the FBI said they had 50 such operations that they were going into, these will all weave into each other, I'm sure, at various points, and I have to keep them in chronological order as they break and then get the interconnecting links of the various investigations. The ABSCAM basically is centered, again, in Florida, with Representative Kelly, South Carolina, with Representative Jenrette, New York, with Mr. Murphy, Representative Murphy, and then congressmen from Pennsylvania and New Jersey, public officials from Pennsylvania and New Jersey. The Pensdorf is from Alan Dorfman that gets that title, centered in Chicago, Illinois. The Teamsters organization, Dorfman, has been linked to members of organized crime and various connections that were illegal. He's been prosecuted on some of them already. And in the course of wiretapping him, they picked up conversations with Senator Howard Cannon from Nevada, and that involves certain decisions made in Senate regarding trucking and Teamsters that they're looking into. The Bri Lab covers the Beverly Hills, Arizona, Arkansas, Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma territory and public officials. And since last week, the MyPorn has opened up, and they have arrested 55 people involved with pornography. This is a 2.5-year investigation, which covers the area of Los Angeles, San Francisco, Cleveland, Ohio, Providence, Rhode Island, Baltimore, Houston, Honolulu, and Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And then there's another grand jury investigation going on now with Anthony Spilotro involving skimming money in Las Vegas. That takes the money into Kansas, Milwaukee, Las Vegas, Nevada, and St. Louis, Missouri. And the allegations are being made to the grand jury that the skimming money passed through a store that Spilotro has called Gold Rush Limited, and that's in Las Vegas, Nevada. So that's a lot of investigations that do cross over with each other that aren't clearly defined at this time. And I believe that an overzealous FBI came in and got tips of information from various informers that have been named from these cities that broke stories open that are like wildfire and could get out of control. The Justice Department may deny leaking the details to the press, but all the major media, NBC and Newsday, New York Times, and all of them were informed months in advance of what was taking place. And they could break that story in order to assure that these people wouldn't have to go to trial because, in quotes, they were tried by the press. And by informing the press, you get your congressman off the hook. I don't think it'll wash, but I think that was the intent of letting the story go fast and then singling out a few quickly and close the case as soon as possible. I was so disgusted this last week, Wednesday, February the 20th, on Good Morning America. Rhoda Barrett was on there, and she mentioned that a movie was going to be made about ABSCAM, and she mentioned three people, one of the writers, I didn't know his name, a third, one of the three people that was to write it, But one of the first person she mentioned was Leslie Maitland from the New York Times. Now, I wondered, Leslie Maitland carried this story, and she's the person I called about the missing photograph, the oil painting that set off the Abscam investigation. And I mentioned that this could go very high and be like Watergate, and that it could go all the way to the Pope and the Vatican and Gambino family and Jimmy Carter and a lot of narcotic connections. And she seemed to know about all the connections, and she said, oh, I'll call you back. But little did I know that Leslie Maitland was working with Les Whitten, the associate of Jack Anderson, and that they're getting ready to make a movie. And Rhonda Barrett was saying on Good Morning America that it's going to be similar to All the President's Men. Well, Woodward and Bernstein were brought in quickly to cover up the real story of Watergate, the killing of Mary Jo Kopechne, the murder of Robert Kennedy in 1968 that made it possible for Richard Nixon to become president in 1968, and the shooting of George Wallace and the killing of J. Edgar Hoover in May of 72. The real crimes of Watergate were never investigated, or the plans to have riots and demonstrations at the time of the Republican conventions in Miami. Jack Anderson was very important in Watergate to break the story and bring down Richard Nixon, and in return, we got Alexander Haig in the White House and more power for Henry Kissinger, and in came Nelson Rockefeller and a team more powerful than the Richard Nixon, Rebozo, Haldeman gang. The tentacles of the Eastern establishment really were brought in because of Watergate. And I thought that this story smacked of Watergate. Jack Anderson is the fellow who wrote about the ITT memo and Dita Baird and broke the story of payoffs to Richard Nixon's administration and the committee to reelect the president given to John Mitchell by ITT that forced Nixon to move the convention to Miami from San Diego that opened up a large can of worms. Well, as of this date, Jack Anderson isn't writing anything about any of these Abscam or Brilab or the investigations, but his associate is working with Leslie Maitland and working on a project of a movie. Here we have congressmen, public officials, the casinos in New Jersey, organized crime covers being investigated, allegedly by the Justice Department, and then we get information that the news media that's been behind breaking the story and leaking it that would allow these people to get off on the basis they don't have a fair trial, have the nerve to make a movie. It's bad enough to sit and watch these movies on the Kennedy assassination or on the life of Howard Hughes or Patty Hearst kidnapping or the Manson family and all these bloody lies that are made in film. But the idea that they're making arrangements for a movie before a single person is arrested, it really means that our public officials, our Justice Department, our agencies are only here to entertain us. They use these people. If an informer tells about them, instead of getting them arrested, they leak it to the press, and the information the informers have goes wasted because the guilty people can get off. The links of Abscam should go very high. I was optimistic last week, and I mentioned it. You know, I thought with Jeff Gerth and Howard Bloom working on the story, it would go very high. But I can see now that the contract to make the movie and to commercialize it will kill off the real investigation, and they'll settle for just a little bit of a story and think how marvelous they were to entrap a few people. I have many listeners who subscribe to my tapes and who also read New Solidarity and are always asking me to make some comments about the National Labor Party and Lyndon LaRoche, Jr., who is trying to run for president of the United States every 4 years. And I keep promising to do a tape just on some of the information they publish and how I disagree with much of what they print. But an example of the kind of research they do or the selective writing they do could be brought out at this time because they have an article, February 8th, New Solidarity, Will FBI's Abscam Be a New Watergate? Well, I believe it's a Watergate operation, and they believe it is a Watergate, and they refer to the fact that NBC knew 2 months before the operation what was happening and that they were collaborating with the FBI and that the home that the men were entrapped in belonged to a reporter of the Washington Post who temporarily went away for a while. They insinuate that this is a thoroughly dirty investigation into alleged congressional bribe-taking. Well, it can't be alleged when the men were photographed with attorneys tape recording and listening to make sure it was legal, And they're actually seen stuffing money into their pockets and making promises for Immigration Department to bring people in. They may have been entrapped in a way, but it isn't an alleged bribe-taking, because some of them have even admitted, yes, we took it in satchels or I put it in my pocket. The New Solidarity brings out that they're trying to get Democrats. There's one Republican, and the majority are Democrats. I agree with them on that. They point out that they're pretty liberal Democrats working with labor-based organizations, labor-connected politicians, urban-based machinery, fairly social-conscious Democrats. I agree with that. But then they mention the men that have been implicated in this terrible scandal, and they list their names. Now, there's nothing about Representative John Murphy with his links to General Somoza. He went to West Point with Somoza and has been a lifelong friend of his. He's on the Pahlavi Foundation with the Shah of Iran. He has links to the Gambino family, organized crime. They don't bring that out, and they don't bring out the fact that Mr. Jenrette was being investigated by the FBI, Representative Jenrette, for allowing his property in South Carolina to be used for narcotics to be brought to this country. Now, they're supposed to be the experts with the book Dope Incorporated on the traffic of organized crime and narcotics to the country. And yet here are two men linked to that kind of operation that are totally ignored. And when the criminal element gets into here, and all that is coming out with the links of Carlos Marcello to the Kennedy assassination, and his favors with Mr. Noto of the Immigration Department. He was going to give Noto a full job with him. He resigned just last month from the Immigration Department, and Marcello's contacts of Noto with Senator Williams' office. That's a different story. Carlos Marcello is a multimillionaire organized crime figure that's dealt in narcotics, prostitution, crime, who was named by the House Select Committee on Assassinations as a role in the Kennedy assassination. They keep saying the Bronfmans are behind the Kennedy assassination, and yet you have Marcello linked into this abscam scandal and very quietly missing from the article. The article written by Kathleen Murphy says that abscam is a deliberate operation by the Trilateral Commission to rig the 1980 elections and make way for George Bush. Well, Jimmy Carter was handpicked by the Trilateral Commission. He was a graduate of Annapolis, 11 years in the Navy, commander of an atomic ship. He has Mr. Brzezinski in the saddle. He is everything the Trilateralists wanted. He's gotten all the weapons increases. He's got the army in the Persian Gulf. Jimmy Carter is a military man handpicked by David Rockefeller. Why would you Watergate Carter to put in Bush? It's true they may want a Trilateralist for each department. They may want Bush, and they already have Carter. But there's no indication here that the Trilateral Commission singled out this operation or these men. The truth was that an informer in New York got stuck on an arrest charge and offered information in exchange for not going to jail. An informer got caught in Phoenix, Arizona, and offered information on the Bribe Lab in Los Angeles, Texas, Southwest, in exchange for not going to jail. An informer in Miami offered information on the pornography case in exchange for not going to jail. And these little men, rather than take the rap, began to squeal. And that's why the investigations started. It wasn't that these men are members of the Trilateral Commission by a long shot. They just wanted to save their ass, and they began to give information, and the Justice Department followed it, I'm sure, not knowing how far they were going. And my last point about the article by Kathleen Murray in New Solidarity, she says, one immediate aim of abscam is to usher through Congress the Carter administration's new charter for U.S. intelligence community. The CIA and the FBI are making stricter rules. They're going to prosecute people if they give out information on the intelligence data that they have when they're working with them. They're going to open our mail. They're going to wiretap. They're going to decide who are security risks. They're going to break into homes and bug everybody. And it is true that when you get organized crime hitting about 50 states, it gives an excuse to wiretap anybody to fill in with these investigations. But I think the war that Jimmy Carter is getting us into in the Middle East, the taking of the hostages, the Afghan situation. Those are the things that they are going to use as an excuse to come down on us across the country, because when you get a war, you get anti-war protesters, and that's what brought Operation Chaos and Mr. Odom from the White House and the secret team that works with the military to make martial law. In order to get away with a war, you have to take all the protesters, and those are the young people, the students, the middle class, the educated, the university faculties, and you have to get in and decide that they're a risk to the country. And it's the war that's coming along that is making the laws necessary. These investigations on the crime figures are not the factor that is going to bring tight CIA and FBI control down on our heads. So in essence, the difference I have with New Solidarity is not bringing out Carlos Marcello, not bringing out Murphy's links to these other dangerous people with a lot of power. He's not an innocent little person. He's been playing the game for a long, long time, this Representative Murphy, with the military and all the powers that be. And it's true that they may shift the New Jersey gaming casino tables, but the person who gains from that is only Resorts International. So far, they're the only group that have a permanent license in New Jersey, and they can get out the governor and the gaming commission and various people, and Resorts International will keep control. I believe that's run by the Trilateralists and the Council of Foreign Relations and the Justice Department, and they are skimming out certain people, but there are a great deal of persons who were interviewed, have been written up in the New York Times and Washington Post, who were offered money and said, hey, get away, it stinks, I don't want it. They didn't set a trap for everybody because some people recognized it was a sham and couldn't be sucked in. So these men aren't completely innocent. And they played a role, and they were seeing stuff in their pockets and briefcases. So you can't call it an alleged bribe-taking when they're putting that kind of money in and putting it in their glove compartments, in their filing cabinets, and shuffling it around and not recording it as a campaign contribution. And this was too much money for contributions anyway. So the difference I have with New Solidarity, I might exemplify in other tapes that come along, because as the Abscam story breaks, I can show you the parts that, the dope parts too, and they stress Dope Incorporated that they will leave out, and the links of the dopesters that were caught in this net that will get off because the media is allowing them to. That part is true, but they should be exposed for having links to these politicians who have very important jobs in Washington. I did several tapes on trying to locate the name of the painting, the oil paintings that were taken that set off this investigation, and I've told you how I called the Justice Department and the Attorney General and Howard Bloom, New York Times, and Leslie Maitland, and Howard Bloom said he would call me and as soon as they got the name of the paintings that were stolen or set it off, and I called the local FBI too. Well, Howard Bloom didn't call back, and Leslie Maitland didn't call back, but the New York Times carried a story February the 14th, this last week, on the paintings, and it was reprinted in the San Francisco Chronicle. The story going that recovery of art by the FBI in 1978 was the test of the Abscam technique. Now, in the San Francisco Chronicle, it says that there was a art dealer who lived in Michigan, who moved to New York, and he had two paintings that were stolen. One was a Rubens, and the other, he mentioned, was an artist that I really wasn't familiar with, but is fairly well known, Gerard Terborch. And coincidentally, the picture I was looking for was a Rubens, 17th century Rubens, and these paintings had been insured for $150,000. And according to the New York Times article in the Chronicle, they disappeared from Santini Brothers' van that was carrying the effects of Lawrence Fleischman. He's the director of the Kennedy Galleries in New York City. And when he moved to New York City in 1966 from Michigan, these paintings were missing. And according to FBI report, February the 17th, 1978, they got a tip from an informer that two men, a Dominique Casarelli and an Arthur Palmer, were at the airport, and that they were responsible for these paintings. And the informer made arrangements for the paintings to be put in a van, and they were returned. and the men were not prosecuted for stealing these paintings. When they went to the judge, they were formally charged March 30th, 1978, for interstate shipment, and they pleaded not guilty and went to the judge August 78. And then there was a request, a sealed affidavit made by the U.S. Attorney's Office for an adjournment for 6 months. And the U.S. Attorney said, put this off 6 months, we're not going into it now. And then January 1979, they rescheduled the trial, and then there was another motion that this be put off and that not go to trial. So these men continued to be free, and the case never went to trial. And according to the New York Times, reprinted in the San Francisco Chronicle, the painting, one of them was a Rubens. I was looking for a Rubens that William Taub had missing 13 years ago when he moved. The Teamsters moved his paintings. That was the gift from the Vatican that was so important that I've mentioned on previous tapes. But the San Francisco Chronicle carried the story of the origin of the Arab sting, but they left out a part that the New York Times had, and that's why it's so important to take a lot of newspapers. I only can read 8 or 9 or 10 a day. I wish I had time for more, because the lawyer for the two men that were charged with taking these paintings, according to the New York Times, have said that they don't even know about those paintings, that their client didn't negotiate going off an airplane and negotiate with these paintings to sell these paintings, and that they're not involved at all. And this one lawyer said that his client was seen a few feet from a truck walking his dog, and it's never gone to trial. That Martin Siegel, that's the attorney, Martin Siegel for Mr. Palmer, said that the United States attorney tried to convince us to make a guilty plea 2 or 3 days before the trial, but both men have maintained their innocence. Mr. Casarelli said he didn't even know what they were talking about. He never spoke with the FBI, and their sole connection with the case was to be near the van. So that case is still up in the air. The court case was sealed. It's not available for anybody. So I'm not really sure, until we find out someday from William Taub if he ever found his Rubens, we won't be sure if he was an informer or tipster who set this thing off, that was catching certain people in the net that I call the Watergate revenge or Taub's revenge. William Taub had relationships with the Teamsters, with Jimmy Hoffa, with Richard Nixon, the CIA, the Hughes Organization, and after he was almost killed and left for dead in Switzerland and recovered, it may just be that he didn't come back so quietly, and what set this thing off might have been the missing Rubens 13 years ago. It's quite a coincidence that a Rubens painting is involved in both situations, and that the men who've been named as a factor that set Abscam off have denied they had any part of it, and all court records are locked up to this day. My very suspicious mind was concerned about the riot that took place in New Mexico February the 2nd, and on tape 427, I briefly talked about the prison riot and the killing of the 33 prisoners there and how unusual it was, the circumstances for those particular deaths. And I also mentioned that Raymond Pecunier, now under sheriff for the San Francisco Police Department, used to be chief of prisons in California when we had all the Nazi white Aryan Brotherhood fighting racial fights in the prisons that were segregated, then allowed to mingle, and the murders in the California prisons. Pecunier has been part of the CIA Central California Intelligence FBI operation all of his life, and just prior to the riots he was down in New Mexico advising them in their prison situation. Well, an interesting article came out by Matt Mygatt this last week. Search for answers continues at riot-torn prison. Savagery astounds investigators. And this article goes into the fact that it was the most savage prison riot in U.S. history, 36-hour reign of terror, how an inmate was beheaded. You've heard all the gory details before. And they were asking questions how prisoners got such easy control of the system, and what turned them on and what got them out of control. The article goes on to say that the uprising took place among members of an execution squad that some inmates said roamed the prison in search of victims many snitches and hated informers. And I mentioned before that they were out after specifically the informers. But on the eve of all these organized crime stories breaking from pornography in Florida and the various states and cities I've mentioned, and Las Vegas and California Southwest and Midwest, New York, New Jersey, all coming together, what kind of informers were at New Mexico prison that this gang went through? Now, the article refers to them, in interesting words, as an execution squad, and I think of the type of people, the 130 or so that have escaped from Jim Jones that were part of a brainwashed execution squad. The article says the riot began the morning of February 2nd. That was the same day as the other stories breaking. The men were drinking home brew in a dormitory. They two unarmed guards came in. They were unarmed, and they came in to see them, and they broke into the prison control room. The men took and overpowered two guards. Now, I don't know where all the others were, the bell system or whatever. And they shattered a bulletproof glass that had been recently installed, despite warnings that it was not impenetrable. Then they took the internal locks and communications and keys to the other cells, and they went storming through. And their primary concern was the seven-man execution squad was to take blowtorches, metal rods, and axes, and torture and kill fellow prisoners. They went after, with a blowtorch, the snitches, the Aryan Brotherhood, which is the Nazi group, and the Mexican Mafia. Some of the violence was directed against informers. This is coming out of New Mexico, Associated Press story. The rioters ransacked the prison offices and rifled confidential files. They said no one is in prison is lower than an informer. They went on to say the inmates said they would kill the people who betray their country. Now think about that a little, because I don't know who of those 33 was there that these prisoners could get through glass, go through the filing cabinets, have a set execution squad similar to Nazi Germany, actually, and be challenging those particular informers as threatening their country. I could see where they could threaten the friend of theirs, but there had to be some political connotations here, because the quotation in the newspaper said, "You hang a guy out here for treason when they betray their country." It's the same thing in the penitentiary. They kill the people who betray their country. And they went after them. And the first targets, according to this article, appeared to be inmates in the protective dormitory and cell where they were kept for a number of reasons, including being erroneously or actually identified as informants. But others apparently were victims of personal grudges. Now, two consultants helped the Attorney General, Jeff Bingaman, investigate a mass escape that took place in December. There was a mass escape in December, and this is February. One of them was Raymond Pecunier, that's the man I mentioned before from California, who's an excellent one at setting up this kind of hostility or gang war, and the other is Robert Bork. And they said there was an ongoing training program, and the salaries they found out were inadequate. 33 inmates died. And then the article says all 33 who died during the takeover were homicide criminal cases. That doesn't mean they killed somebody, but they may have been informers on homicide criminal cases. And all 33 were killed. And a lot of informers, even if there were just three that would break these other stories wide open, they would be very valuable. And it would be important to wipe them out. Now, the question is, Robert Bork, the same person that was involved when Richard Nixon was covering up the Watergate story, Mr. Taub says that his name, William Taub's name, is on the Richard Nixon tapes regarding Jimmy Hoffa and chicanery, which was never released, suggesting that those were the missing tapes or they were wiped out. There was a Mr. Bork, a Robert Bork, described, I have one book here, The Great Cover-Up by Barry Sussman on the Watergate team, and he describes Nixon's aides all knew, that's Haldeman and Ehrlichman, knew that Cox would not accept the offer, that was Archibald Cox, to have certain congressmen listen to the tapes and decide if they were important or not. Special Prosecutor Cox wouldn't go for that. So when he refused to do that, they brought in the White House Chief of Staff at the time of Watergate, Alexander Haig, and he ordered the Attorney General Richardson to fire the special prosecutor, Cox, and Richardson said, I'll resign first as the Attorney General, I won't do it. Then Haig, the protege of Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller, who's now running the White House, a graduate of West Point, ordered Deputy Attorney General William Ruckelshaus to fire the chief prosecutor, Mr. Cox, and he wouldn't do it, and Mr. Ruckelshaus resigned. Then finally they called the number three man in the Justice Department, Solicitor General Robert Bork, who was acting Attorney General, and he fired Archibald Cox because Cox would not go for a special listening to the White House tapes, and it was the tapes that brought Nixon out of office. I think it's terribly important to find out if this Robert Bork was down at the Santa Fe prison prior to the shooting, if he was down there in December, and if there were special agents here. Because, again, I've mentioned, and I'll go to on the other side, we don't have enough time on this side, to certain informers squealing now about Richard Nixon and John Mitchell, and were these informers or part of that team in that cell? This New Mexico riot was set up. Specific people were killed, all of them were killed, and they were killed just at a time when these investigations are going all over the country.
Roger Crawford, Oppenheim. God makes mushrooms, sisters, God makes time. Beats is sweeping like a lollipop, so we keep on dancing, dancing, we dance on. Marathon, 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 marathon.